Welcome back to the Real Ask No Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host, recording this on a sunny but very cold Melbourne afternoon over here in Australia. Wherever you're listening around the world, I hope you're well. I thought I'd jump on to talk about Arsenal's final home match of the Premier League season, a 1-0 victory over Newcastle, the classic 1-0 to the Arsenal chant. It's a very hard game to read. I'll try my best to try and just break down my thoughts into a couple of sections, because there's a lot of crossover between a number of things that are happening at the club at the moment, between trying to analyse this game in isolation versus a broader picture of where Arsenal season is culminating and where we go to from here. So let's get stuck in. Firstly, selection. I think selection is largely has largely been as expected the last few weeks, just given the volume of injuries Arsenal have suffered and the lack of availability in certain areas. The team essentially picks itself, right? So Timber, I think, hasn't trained in a couple of weeks now. So I think internally in the club, they've just made the decision, after the volume of minutes he's played this season off the back of an ACL, just let him sit out. It's just not really worth the risk. White has been working his way back up to fitness. He's still not in full. He's still not in his full self, is he? I mean, you can say that about a number of players, even though they played a lot of minutes lately and their return to training happened some time ago. You can't look at the output of the likes of Saka and Ben White and think that's anywhere near their top form. I think their performances are very much hampered by the injury tolls and just the lack of rhythm, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we as fans just don't know about. You don't know what their recovery looks like. You don't know about the soreness, inflammation, how difficult it might be between them post-match, and what modified training regimes they might even be on in between matches, just to manage them through between the physios and their nutrition and all sorts of other things, right? I'm just going to talk for myself here. All I can really comment on is when we see them perform on the pitch. And for quite some time now, I look at and the same could be said of Odegaard, really. He's probably the best example of the point I'm trying to make. Since his return from that three-month layoff from ankle surgery, it's a very nasty injury. I think we all maybe have forgotten how bad an injury that was, especially in the context of how many other injuries we've suffered since, and the cluster injuries of forwards, Jesus with an ACL and Havertz, and we've had a number of players have hamstring operations and whatnot. So it can somewhat get lost that earlier in the season, Odegaard suffered a very traumatic injury. And he's probably the best example of what I'm trying to say here, that all I can really comment on is when I see them on the pitch and you see how they're moving, you see sometimes, how do I explain this? You can just tell when someone's not moving right, when they're moving with the same freedom as they did before. I think they're managing their way through periods of the match as well. And you just really don't know what it's like afterwards. I mean, for all we know, they're having to spend a few days in the ice baths afterwards just to manage the inflammation, manage their recovery. And everyone at the club is trying to patch them up as best as we can to get them out again, because, you know, you need your best players. I mean, I'm stating the obvious here. We continually have needed our best players in key moments. And unfortunately, Arsenal haven't had that. We just haven't had a consistent patch where we've had our highest caliber players to call upon, especially at the business end of the season. No better example than the Champions League semi-finals. So, look, that was a long-winded way to say that our selection has been heavily hampered by injuries and availabilities, and White hasn't looked himself lately. That's no slight on him. Conversely, at the other end of the scale, William Saliba, he's been available the entire season, and he's played a very heavy workload of minutes. He hasn't been himself either, because you can make the argument, as much as we all want our best players to play every minute possible, as much as they possibly can, you also have to realize that the toll it takes on them. I think it's been a difficult 3 to 4 weeks for Saliba. Some uncharacteristic mistakes that have happened You don't need me to lay them all out, right? The Bernabeu when he had a couple of moments against PSG. Raya too, as amazing as he's been, and I get to Raya again actually just on this match. He was the reason we kept a clean sheet really against Newcastle. I'll get to Raya in a second, but you also see fatigue-induced errors as well. So Arsenal just we just haven't been able to strike this balance. At one end of the spectrum, we've had a very, very heavy workload on too few, and I think that they felt it. They felt the toll of the workload and some mistakes and uncharacteristic elements that have crept into their game. At the other end, damn, I wish we had more to choose from in times when we were, you know, playing every 3 days. Even you look at something like the timing of Jorginho's injury when he had that nasty fall, I believe it was broken ribs or punctured lung. That was a massive injury, and we don't really, I don't think we've fully grasped the implications of that, because if he's available when Thomas Partey was suspended for the first leg against PSG, Jorginho's just the man you want to come in. Just the man for a high-stakes Champions League semi-final, a proven winner, someone with his experience and caliber, right? I would have had no problems at all. Him coming in as the six, and we saw in that match how much we were hampered by having to shift Rice back deeper into midfield. On the rare times, and I mentioned this a number of times in my recordings around that time. Especially in the lead up to the second leg, of how much of a weapon Rice is when he's driving forward. You saw the few times when Rice had the ball and he was charging through PSG's midfield. They couldn't deal. They couldn't handle him. He's a physical powerhouse. They call him the horse for a reason, but they couldn't handle his running power, his size, his physique, his strength. The ball was glued to his feet. Lewis Skelly did it a few times too. We just skittled them through the middle, sliced them open. And it just gives you a bit of a, it's just a bit of an inkling into what could have been, because if we had Jorginho there, instead of having to shift Rice back, and then the entire structure, the spine of the team changes, already heavily hampered because we didn't have Havertz at the top and we didn't have Gabriel at the base in front of Rice. So the entire spine, that critical midsection of Arsenal's team, it's a combination of power, experience, and it's just all the good stuff that comes with it when you want your best players playing at the key moments. And it just really sucked that we didn't have Jorginho, because he would have been prime for that game. And who knows what could have been if Rice was allowed for 90 minutes to do that marauding runs that he does. Who knows what could have been. But it's just one of those seasons, isn't it? How many times have I said out loud, what could have been this, or what if that? And so much of that has been out of our hands. Yes, due to injuries and bad luck and refereeing decisions. But also, you know, you can't exonerate the club is the word I'm looking for. We can't exonerate the club for the indecisions made in the transfer windows since last season. So maybe everyone's getting tired of hearing that, and I'm certainly tired of saying it, because it's very much cost Arsenal this season. So look, we are where we are now. I don't quite know how I got onto that side tangent. I'm sorry about that. I'm meant to be talking about the Newcastle match. So I'll wrap up the match, I guess, in a shorter section of this podcast, and then maybe the back half of this to finish off, I'll talk about the next steps and where we certainly should be headed from here. It was a very difficult first half for Arsenal. Let's just call it like it is. Without Raya, I think we would have been stuffed. I think there were three, perhaps four genuine chances. Newcastle would be kicking themselves. They've done us over three times this season, and we're prime coming to the Emirates today to do it a fourth time. That'll be a very rare feat, I believe. I cannot recall. Unique circumstances, of course, because you meet in a cup tie to give the two extra fixtures. But I cannot recall the last time a team has defeated Arsenal four times within the same season. So they certainly are a bogey team. They're certainly up for it. There's a fair bit of needle as well that has crept in the last few fixtures. They've been very physical matches and quite feisty and spicy at times, not helped by some of the ridiculous decisions we've copped against us, and the fact that referees have just given free license for some of their players to just go around and just violently conduct themselves in a disgraceful way. I'll never forget the images of what's his name? Was it Gumarez or was it Joe Linton? I think it was Gumarez. Pardon me. Sorry if I've got that wrong. They're just basically assaulting Georgino. They whacked him. It just elbowed him. And the VAR clips were just utterly hilarious afterwards, talking about some crap justification that, it's not a red card because he hasn't used it as a weapon. You cannot be serious. How can you strike someone with your forearm elbow into the head and say it's not a weapon? I mean, if you do that to someone on the street, right, and be captured on CCTV or whatever, that's assault. That's physical assault. That's a criminal act. And to allow that to get away on the football field, just utterly disgraceful. The kind of decision or indecision that PGMOL are now well and truly synonymous for. So, anyway, sorry again. I've just deviated into another side rant. I guess it's a ranty type of morning. Apologies for that. So look, I'll just get back onto the match. They were certainly up for it. They've jumped us a few times. I mean, in similar fashion, they came out of the blocks very quickly in the League Cup ties as well. And Arsenal just weren't ready for it. So here's where I have a bit of trouble trying to analyze this game properly, because in my head, I know that these matches now, I'll call it like it is. I think we all just want the season to end. I think ever since the title fizzled out and we got knocked out of the Champions League, I just wanted the season to be done, because it's just dragged on and on these last few weeks. And as Liverpool were confirmed champions and we sort of resigned to lick our wounds and ponder all those what ifs I mentioned before, I just wanted the season to be done. So thankfully only one match to go now, against Southampton next weekend, and we should win that to well and truly secure second place in the Premier League table. But going back to what I was saying, the season being done, it very much impacts how you can properly assess matches like this. So where I have a bit of trouble is I look at the first half, I look at the opening period and the way we were dominated, players being off the boil, and just there's a few players who just weren't getting involved. I mean, it was strange, right? Seeing just the amount of space that was wide open for Arsenal being sliced through again and again. So as much as I look at that and think, wow, this is really odd. We are so far off it. This is poor. Right, this is unacceptable, as Mikel would say, and you can say the same thing at Anfield last weekend. In fact, he did. He was very, very strong in his words. Look, I'll come back to that. I'll come back to Arteta again a bit later in this recording, because he was certainly very emotional post-match. I think it's been an emotional fortnight for Mikel, to be honest, and he probably needs the rest as much as anyone else. Anyway, so I can't look at this match without the heavily filtered viewpoint that this match didn't matter necessarily for us, and we know that, and that was reflected in the performance. And I think to myself that had the stakes been higher, had we still been in the Premier League title race and we needed the 3 points, I'd like to think that we wouldn't produce a performance like that, because corresponding time 12 months ago, we were in it to the final day, and we stayed in it because we clawed, we fought our way through every victory in that incredible run to finish the season. I think the penultimate match last year was we were away at Old Trafford, and we came out of that 1-0 as well. But such a contrast in the performances between 12 months ago to now. We were very comfortable, aside from a few nervy moments, of course. I mean, there always is in matches, but we were very comfortable at Old Trafford last year, and of course boosted by having our best players on the pitch. And it was Havertz who scored the goal. It was Havertz who provided the goal to Trossard last year. Sorry, I just corrected myself. I was just making the point that all of our best players were on the pitch, Gabriel and everyone else who I've mentioned, who's been absent for now. But the point I'm trying to make, and I'm sorry I'm not being particularly coherent with this, but hopefully you can follow me now, is that I can't look at this game in isolation and think that that is a typical performance of Arsenal, because the stakes are what they are now. We're just limping to the line want it to be over. At the same time, it also must be said that we are heavily hampered by injuries. So would we have produced that had we had our best players across the board available? And again, you have to look at that and say, and discount your opinion on it to say, no, look, we wouldn't really see this otherwise. At the same time though, right, there's been some really just strangely odd, difficult performances in the last few months, probably post-February, post-March, since the international breaks are finished. And again, I know we were heavily hampered by injuries. Also, though, the players that we did have available at the time, they weren't performing to the standards, as Mikel would say. So even when the Premier League title was still on the line, there was that very brief week or so where I think Everton had that very last minute equaliser against Liverpool to peg them back. They drew that match, and then all of a sudden I think Liverpool were pegged back a bit. There was maybe just the early signs of, is this potentially a wobble? Are they catchable? And then we didn't go out and capitalise. We didn't go out and get the job done, because again, we saw some very wishy-washy performances in the Premier League. So as much as I want to say discount this performance today because the stakes don't matter, I also equally am at the counter end of that scale to counteract my own thought process. Well, I also have to acknowledge when the Premier League title was still potentially on the line, we didn't produce either. So, but again, underpinning all of that is injuries and absences. So I just go round and round and round in circles in my own head. And that probably reflects in how scattered I am in trying to make this point, and I'm talking round and round in circles. And I think I get to the same conclusion. I just want the season to end. I just do. It's tiring. And I'm all the way over here in Melbourne, right? Haven't kicked a ball for the club, and I never will. I mean, unless the injuries get that desperate that they want to pluck out a 44-year-old male from Melbourne, right? With no professional senior team experience. But all jokes aside, right? I'm tired watching it from afar, and it's tiring to keep talking about the same notes, right? The same broad points are for Arsenal this season are in no particular order. Injuries, baffling refereeing decisions, baffling transfer window decisions or inaction, January window being what it was, you know, it was just bizarre to watch, and then cluster injuries, and then bad luck with just little moments as well, you know, just as we triumphed over Real Madrid, which no one really saw coming. We battered them. One of the greatest performances, one of the greatest nights Arsenal has ever produced. And then underpinning all of that was the suspension to Partey, but then not having Jorginho to step in, right? Just one by one by one, we couldn't catch a break here. We couldn't catch a break there. And it's just been one of those seasons that almost everything that could have gone wrong essentially has. So I just want it to be done. I'm tired. I'm so glad Arsenal won today, and just to even get one back over Newcastle, right? And just to shut them up. And look, I've got to say, oh my God, how can I not even mention Declan Rice's goal yet? Sorry for that again. It was a ridiculously good strike. Man, that man can hit a football, right? The whip he gets on it, it's side netting again. Down the same end as those free kicks against Real Madrid, which I think, like, if you're anything like me, you've watched 1,000 times. He hit the side netting again on the other side of the goal. How does he do that? Immensely good strike. The type of strike that deserves 3 points just on its own. So well done to Declan Rice. How good is it to have him back? Because again, in the aforementioned match against Anfield last week against Liverpool, we're missing him. So there's been such a stop-start nature to Arsenal. We've had very little consistency across team selection and the players out on the field and whatnot. So it's just been a very difficult season that I'll be very happy to see the back of come next weekend. But the scenes of which this match finished were farcical. I know we were doing our thing and milking the clock and substitutions, right? Tierney and Jorginho coming on late. I think that was a lovely touch by Mikel to give them just their final sort of hurrahs at the Emirates. And boy, did they both receive fantastic receptions. So did Havertz as well, coming back on. That was a beautiful moment for him, showing the respect and the adulation from the crowd. That was fantastic for him. So great scenes there. I know we were milking the clock down, and the ref would, they always add on 30 seconds here and there, right? Like in addition to the allotted injury time, but it just kept going, and then that final flurry from the corner, and then there was a bit of a fracas and hoo-ha and you know, bit of pushing and shoving. Lewis Skelly, that image of him with his big smile on his face was gold. I absolutely loved it. And then he's basically just talking to the VAR in the ear. It was like they were doing their best to pluck out a penalty. And I was almost expecting it to happen, like such is my conditioning now to the way Arsenal have been refereed, that I was almost just fully expecting him to be caught over to the monitor, right? Because the VAR official had, what, you know, 90 seconds or whatever to basically dissect in the footage, trying their absolute best to find a foul, just to manufacture a foul. And it was just farcical. So I'm so glad when the whistle blew, and that's that. And 1-0 to the Arsenal, and we've secured second place to make sure that Newcastle can't overtake us. So yeah, so at least a small but important victory in the end. So post-match, it was quite emotional, I feel, and here's where I wanted to come back to just a point about Mikel Arteta. I think he speaks from the heart a lot. I mean, clearly he does. He's done that from day one, talking about the connection between the fans and the players. And I think he's, I mean, I wonder if at times, is he trying too hard sometimes? I just get that sense, especially in and around the PSG tie, the build-up for it. It was just, something just seemed to be off. It's probably a conversation for another time. And did we hype that up too much? Were we overly emotional? I mean, we were, yeah. I mean, I know people will point to the TIFO as well that we stuffed up. And this is, it's just the calibration of the club in the lead up to that match. I wonder if we just overhyped it a little bit too much. Maybe, and clearly they all wanted it, and no one wants to win more than Mikel. But I wonder if we just went a little bit too heavy on the emotion and just lost a bit of composure. And well, when you look at the difference across the tie, it was definitely that opening 20 minutes in the first leg at the Emirates. So anyway, I'll talk about that another time. But here, I think since that PSG loss, I think Arteta's, how do I say this? Some of the things he said has bothered me. I'd like to think we're all not binary. Like like two or more things can be true at once. And I think Arteta is wonderful. He's a wonderful manager. He's brought us back, right? He deserves to see this project through, so to speak. And I'm very confident he will. He will deliver. Come the end of the season, I think he needs a reset and a recharge as well, more than anyone, because you can see the emotional toll and the stress this has taken on him. And I just wish he wouldn't say some of the things he has in the last 7 to 10 days or so. The comments around, we were the best team, we were the best team in the Champions League, and we were the best team across the tie because people from the PSG bench told him and whatnot, and then the stuff around Liverpool, the points tally, and I know what he's saying, right? I know what he's saying about when you look at the points that Arsenal have accumulated in the last two seasons and haven't won it, and this time Liverpool have with a lesser points tally. You put all this together and it just comes across as ungracious, and I just don't like that. And it certainly drives a lot of media narrative who really don't need much anyway. Because they do their own digging to find enough material to pot shot Arsenal anyway, right? So we certainly don't need to, you know, place anything in the palm of their hands like Mikel has been this last week or two. And I just wish some of these comments weren't made. And today as well, look, he's clearly very emotional. I get it. He's almost like apologizing to the fans. I think he used the phrase in "he will give his life," right? To and look, I don't think he needs to do that, mate. I know I'm very confident he's going to get there anyway. He's going to get it done because I believe in him. I believe in the team and I believe in the club, right? So it's just a game of football at the end of the day, Mikel. So you certainly don't have to do that. But I think it just speaks inside that he's really, really feeling it. He's really, really feeling it deep, the pain and the hurt and of not delivering. So I think he just needs to step away as well. And I'm sure he will. I'm sure he does, goes away with the family. I think he heads back home to Spain for a period of time. And I certainly think he needs that. And just, I just wish some of the comments that have been made weren't said. And yeah, it can just be that. No more, no less. Don't have to deduce anything to this. I'm not that binary. I'm not Arteta in, Arteta out. I don't see it, life that way. I don't see it as that sort of black and white and have to deal in absolutes. Not at all. I just wish, look, I think there are learnings for everyone across the club, including Mikel, right? So it's just as simple as that. He's absolutely the right man for the job. And now paired with Andrea Berta, like, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see what they're going to conjure because we have an enormous window, and I want to actually devote an entire recording to that, a post-season. I'll save that for after next weekend. A bit of a squad audit and just where we're poised this summer. So I'm really excited to see what Andrea Berta is going to produce, because the club clearly knows where our gaps are. The club knows that we need someone of that acumen, that caliber, to come in and elevate us to that next level and just support them, back them. I hope they get full backing by KSC, and let's see what we can produce and take the pain and momentum, right, and generate that over summer. A number of players are finally going to have a rest this summer. There's no major tournament. We're not in that Club World Cup. There's no Euros or World Cup or whatever. The likes of Odegaard and Declan Rice and Saka, Martinelli, Trossard, so many players. Saliba, of course, Raya, so many players who need a bit of rest and respite. Just let them just sit back and decompress, and we all go again next season. So I'm excited for all of that. But before I wrap this up as well, look, it was lovely scenes post-match as well with the lap of honour. And I always love seeing the players' kids come on the field and the families. It's just beautiful sight. I'm a dad myself, so I'm a bit of a softie with that sort of stuff. The way Big Gabriel, the way he holds his little daughter, I mean, it's just beautiful, right? And she obviously adores him. Just lovely scenes, and they get to have a kick around of the football themselves, right? Gunnosaurus is in there doing his thing, right? It's just lovely scenes. I wish it was under different circumstances. I wish it was more of a celebration, right? You know, holding aloft big trophies rather than a thank you and goodbye, so to speak, for the season. But look, it is what it is for now. I'm glad at least there was a moment to say goodbye as well to two players who have served Arsenal very, very well, who have served the club beautifully well in their time. And no, I'm not talking about Neto and Sterling. All jokes aside, I think the reception for Jorginho and Tierney, I think it speaks volumes, right? They're both highly, highly respected, highly valued team members, right? Ultimate professionals. Never heard anything from them, even when they're not featuring much, right? You never hear anything from them or their representatives, just model professionals and people, and certainly wish them all the best in their future endeavors. And look, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but Jorginho, what could have been, right? He's actually the one I would keep. Just on that, by the way, look, I'll talk more about squad depth and whatnot in that recording I will flag in the coming weeks. But if you gave me the list of who we should keep over Partey and Jorginho, for me it'll be Jorginho. He's the one. I know we're going to invest in Zubimendi, hopefully can be finalised pretty early in the window, but Jorginho is the one I would keep. Look, that's just me. Everyone will have a different opinion. I rate him that highly. Anyway, so look, thank you again for everyone for listening. I think I'll wrap this one up for now. And sorry again for this, the scattered nature sometimes of this podcast. Look, I myself am tired. I'm tired. And I'm not just talking about the hours that I wake up to watch this match. It was a 1:30 a.m. kickoff time here in Melbourne. So I always feel it in the aftermath. as well. But aside from that, it's just been a tiring, difficult season as well. So apologies for if there were moments in this recording that were difficult to follow. As always, thank you to everyone who continues to listen and subscribe on YouTube. I've seen another review on Spotify, another 5-star review. I'm up to 6 5-star reviews on there. So thank you so much. If you could please consider subscribing if you're watching on YouTube or leaving me a like, and whichever podcast platform you utilize, a review would be most welcome. Any feedback is most welcome. And I just thank everyone as well for taking the time out to listen to this old bloke across the pond just talk stuff around Arsenal. I love doing this stuff. So please let me know if any questions. Until then, look after yourself. I should actually end on this note. Look after yourselves, okay? It'll be all right. It'll be okay. It's just football, right? If you need to step away, especially as well, I can just see, you know, the online banter. There's people queuing up with the Europa League final this week. There's people queuing up on all camps waiting to potshot Arsenal if other clubs win it and win a trophy and have a better, you know, in inverted commas, a quote unquote better season than Arsenal. Just you know, they're just waiting, right, to bait us, to bait you and I. Just do your best, right? If you need to step away from that crap and not let it feed, not let it take your energy, you know, just stay away from that shit, right? Be mindful what you consume. Look after yourselves. Look after your loved ones. Invest in the things that fill up your cup. Look after your mental health and well-being. And I'll be back on again to speak to you soon. So until then, thank you again. Bye for now, and come on, Arsenal.